أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العدون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وسيد وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللانة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم. صلوات. We've gathered for the wafat of Umm al-Mu'mineen Khadija salawatullah alayha. But I wanted to begin with a concept of the Quran and then relate that to as a best of example for that concept that Quran talks about. The famous ayat in Surah Yasin that we recite normally on Thursday nights, ayat number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا تُنْذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ بِالْغَيْبِ. Where he talks about the people who basically follow the Quran and have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in different talks when we had tafsir programs, I'd mentioned that there is a, you know, very interesting combination of the word khashiyah and rahman. Khashiyah means to fear, but then the one who is to be feared is rahman. And this is a point of reflection that, you know, even when you fear, still this element of hope is there, that you are fearing somebody who is kind and merciful. Bil ghaib here, of course, refers to specifically this element of qiyamah, which is ghaib for us. And then at the end, the ayat ends by saying, فَبَشِّرُهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. The Prophet is being told that somebody who follows the Quran and have that special, you know, khashiyah, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the qiyamah, you know, give him good news. Good news of what? بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. Two things. One is forgiveness, and the other is actually a noble ajr and reward. When we talk about these two things for the akhirah, maghfirah and ajr, forgiveness and reward, this is the summary of this dunya. What else do you want in the akhirah? Even in the month of Ramadan, if you look at the du'as, you will see that this whole concept of tawbah, istighfar, you know, at the end looking at the result, which is in the form of maghfirah and ajr, these are basically the main themes of the du'as that we have, especially in the Layalul Qadr. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in this surah basically ends by talking about two things that we want in the akhirah. One is maghfirah and other is ajr kareem. Interestingly, in Surah Mulk, ayat number 12, the same concept is mentioned, slightly different wordings. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبُّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who fear their Lord, بِالْغَيْبِ, especially in relation to the Qiyamat, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. They will also have, you know, the same words are there, مَغْفِرَة, forgiveness, and أَجْر, reward. However, the difference is that in Surah Yasin, the أَجْر has been mentioned as أَجْرِ كَرِيمٌ. In Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends with the words maghfira and ajr kabir. Ajr is there in both, however the qualification or the quality has been separated. And when we look at the concept of ajr kareem, basically we are looking at the quality of the ajr. When he talks about ajr kabir, he is talking about quantity of the ajr. Ajr kareem basically refers to what is known as the noble, you know, reward, which is the highest level and which is perfect without any blemish. When we look at the issue of ajr kabir, we are talking about, you know, the issue of quantity, that there is no end to it. There is no deficiency in the amount or the, you know, quantity of the ajr is concerned. Salawat pranik parar. Combining these two ayahs from Surah Yasin and Surah Mulk, basically we get the essence that if you're looking for maghfirah and ajr in the akhirah, you know, there are two things. One is following the Quran, and the other is the issue of khashiyah, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially about the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, and in the hereafter. However, in Surah Hud, and this is where I would like to, you know, link this all three ayahs together. Surah Hud, Surah number 11, ayat number 11, 9 to 11 here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically then talks about the psychology of a human being. And it says there are three kinds of people, especially when it comes to Allah's, you know, dealing with them. Number one, he says, لَإِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً ثُمَّ نَذَعْنَاهَا مِنْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, they are human beings, that first we give them our mercy and blessings. We provide for them. But then part of the test and trial is that he can give and he can even take it away. So Allah says that there are some human beings that when we bless them from our mercy, and then نَزَعْنَاهُ مِنْهُ, then we deprive him, we take it back. إِنَّهُ لَيَؤُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. He becomes unhappy, hopeless, ungrateful. وَلَعِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ نَعْمَاءَ بَعْدَ ضَرَّاءٍ. And when he is going through difficulty and challenges, then Allah says, okay, we now bless him, you know, give him, help him out. At that time, يَقُولَنَّ ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَاتُ عَنِّي. You know, he says, okay, all my problems are gone. But at that time, he becomes فَإِنَّهُ فَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. He becomes happy, but at the same time, he is boasting and kind of arrogant. Sometimes the arrogance reaches to the point that he doesn't even appreciate the role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the provision and the sustenance that he gets. He says, ah, this is my hard work, my sweat, my, you know, talent and intelligence. Doesn't know that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Intelligence is his blessing. Resources that you're using are all provided by him. You know, and this is where Allah says, you know, so there are two kinds of, you know, people. If we give them, they are okay. When we take it away, you know, they become hopeless and ungrateful. They say, you know, what is this? I do all this, but, you know, I'm still suffering. On the other hand, after suffering, when Allah helps them, basically, you know, they become happy, of course, but then there is this boastfulness, arrogance comes in. And then the third category of people, from ayat 9, 10, 11, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except those who exercise patience in all situations. Even when they are in difficulty, they still maintain patience, forbearance, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And second thing is that they do good deeds. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. These are the people who will have maghfirah and ajr Kabir, the way it's mentioned in Surah Mulk. Salawat padhne ek baar. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, when we look at different situations of human beings, this is where we have to keep in mind. When He is blessing us, let us be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He deprives us, we still have to be grateful for whatever we had before, and also ask Him to, you know, give back again, or, you know, bless, or give the sabr and the patience, so that even in the time of difficulty you still are able to maintain your right path, because ultimately that's what we are looking for at the end, which is Ajre Kareem. Salawat Pranik Bara. It's in the light of these, you know, three passages, ayat from Surah Yasin, Surah Mulk, and Surah Uhud, that we need to look at the personality of Bibi Khadija salawatullah alayha. She truly, for us, she is the example of this last ayat from Surah Uhud that I mentioned. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, who maintain their sabr and did good in all situations. And this is where, you know, she is for us an example of somebody who is blessed with maghfirah and ajre kareem, as well as ajre kabir. Because we know about her background historically. We hear about it from childhood. That Khadija salawatullah alayha, you know, she was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wealth, affluence, prestige and honor. Everything was there for her. To the extent that if you look at the narrations that we have, especially Surah Ilaf, you know, two trade caravans used to go from Mecca. In winter, it will go south to Yemen, depending on the season there. And during the summertime, a caravan will go to north in Damascus. This is how the Meccans were basically the middlemen, you know, taking goods from the from Asia, which was coming mostly by sea to Yemen, and then taking it further, and then when they go to north, this is Sham, basically was the central market for merchants coming from Eastern Europe as well as Africa. And so the Arabs were basically the middlemen between the European market and Asian market, as well as Eastern Europe and Africa. And if you look at the numbers, we are told that the caravans which would leave Mecca, almost half of the caravan would consist of the camels and the goods which belonged to Khadija salawatullah alayha. So she was indeed a very affluent and a rich and a wealthy lady of the time. But this was her, you know, strength of her character. Even before Islam, even before her marriage to Rasulullah, that she was a lady who was not, you know, did not become corrupt because of affluence. Her character was solid. You know, basically, we sometimes use this word, it's not a proper, you know, language, but we make it up, you know, that she was not, she had affluence, but she was not inflicted by affluenza. You know, this arrogance which comes with affluence. And this is where we see that, you know, when it comes to the issue of her charity, her akhlaq, you know, someone who is surrounded with wealth all around, yet she is not tied to that wealth. She is not slave of that wealth. She was truly, in a way, Malik. She was the Malika and the, you know, somebody who has absolute control on her wealth, and she was basically not under the influence of affluence at all. Salawat Pranik Parar. Even before Islam, even before the marriage of of Bibi Khadija to Rasulullah. She was already known in the society as At-Tahira. That was one of her titles. At-Tahira, we are talking about somebody who is, you know, pure in her character. And this was basically, they described that she was known as Tahira li shiddati ifafiha, because of the strong sense of chastity that she had and modesty. And this is where, you know, when it comes to the issue to even proposals of marriages coming to her. You know, if a person was rich, it would not really be a big deal for her. She was affluent by herself. You know, so that is not the quality that she was looking in the people who would send the marriage proposals to her. And so many affluent people, many famous figures who have of high status in society would propose marriage, and she would refuse. And eventually, her selection goes to somebody who had become her employee, actually. It was not the issue of wealth. This is where, you know, Abu Talib alayhi salam actually said that, you know, now that you have, referring to the Prophet, that now you're grown up, you know, let us arrange something so that you can be a man of your own resources. And it was the request, I would say, or recommendation of Abu Talib to Khadija that I have a nephew who would like you to, you know, employ him. And probably this was her method of how to evaluate her employees, that she assigned a slave to go with the Prophet in the first trade caravan that the Prophet took as the person in charge, manager of that, you know, trade caravan of Khadija. And this slave was assigned by Khadija to be with him all the time, that when he comes back, he will give a full report about his dealings and, you know, his behavior and character. And this is where, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings were there on the Prophet, that he was able to make very good deals, came back with, you know, good profit. But that was not the only thing. When the slave came and basically gave the report about the dealings of the Prophet, you know, his akhlaq with the customers, his overall, you know, behavior with the people around, this is what influenced her quite a lot, impressed her mind. And this is where we see that the, you know, it was not the issue of money and wealth. The criteria in her eyes was the akhlaq of the person. And of course, the Prophet was already known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, you know, a truthful person and a trustworthy person. These are the two core, you know, pillars of Islamic akhlaq. Salawat. This is where we really have to, you know, think about it. Just saying that he was a Sadiq and Amin is not sufficient. You know, in our own life, it is Sidq in our words, and this sense of amanat and trustworthy when we deal with the amanat of people, trust of the people, this is very important. You know, there is actually a statement from the sixth Imam where he quotes his father. He was saying that there was a time, so he was kind of, not very happy with the situation of the Shias at that time. He was saying there was a time when, if you go to a village or a town and if you ask, you know, who is the most truthful person, they will identify somebody who is from the Shias of Ali. If they go somewhere to a community and say, who is the most trustworthy person, they will point out to a person who would be from the Shia of Ali. Means these are the characters and the qualities that, you know, Ahlul Bayt actually expect from us. And this is where we see that this was the basis of this marriage of Bibi Khadija salawatullah alayha to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. She lived with the Prophet before Islam for 15 years. Islam has not yet started. And you know, when we look at the process of Wahi coming in and the mission of Islam starts, it's very easy and very simple to say that the first person to accept the message of Rasulullah was actually his wife. But the important thing to keep in mind, and I emphasize on this issue many, many times, is that, you know, if you really want to know the true character of the person asked, especially if we're talking about a man, go and ask his wife. She would know him better than anyone else. You know? The fact that Khadija is the first one to accept this message, this is actually not only through the credit of Khadija, this is actually a reflection of the pure character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Because she, when the Prophet came from the cave of Hira, one of the narrations is very interesting, where you know, she says to the Prophet that, "What is this nur that I see?" You know, she was able to sense that something, you know, positive and good has happened, and this is where Rasulullah says that I have this you know, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a whole debate and discussion, for some other time, about the beginning of the wahi in the cave of Hira from the Sahih Bukhari's perspective. A very different, you know, picture you get, that the Prophet didn't even know what's happening. Became, you know, very doubtful and thought that he was possessed by jinn. What is the version that we have from Nahjul Balagha, from Amir al-Mu'mineen, where he talks about his childhood in one of the khutbas, one of the longest khutbas of Nahjul Balagha, especially this incident of the wahi coming in the cave of Hira. Ali says, "I was there at that time." The only witness to the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beginning of the wahi, is Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. She did not only, you know, accept the message of the Rasul, but actually she put the entire resources, wealth-wise, which she had, at the disposal of the Prophet. That you can do whatever you want. You know, this is yours. It is not mine. Especially she actually, one of the narration that we have from Allah Majlisi, quoting the sources that he had, he says that Khadija actually asked Warqa bin Nawfal, her uncle, to go by Safa and Marwa and make the announcement that I am dedicating my entire, you know, mali dunya and all my resources, my servants and my animals and my goods and everything that I have, this is now all belonging to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. But going to that theme that I talked about earlier, that those people who have this khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, they have ajri kareem and ajri kareem as well as ajri kabir. And then we related that with this surah Hud's ayat, illa alladhina sabaru wa amilu salihat, that they are the people lahum ajrun maghfiratun wa ajrun kabir. You look at the life of Bibi Khadija. You know, her background is basically is the background of affluence. She lived her life in comfort and luxury. But the time comes after the message of Islam started, that the mushrikeen started opposing Rasulullah. They used all different tactics, which are even commonly used now. You know, first they started to give him labels. He's Majnoon, you know, he's Sha'ir, he's Sahir, and this and that. That didn't work. Then they tried to bribe him. That even didn't work. Eventually, they go to Abu Talib. They said, because of you, we are not touching him. Means we are not being violent towards him. If you separate yourself from your nephew, let us deal with him alone. You know, then it's fine. And this is where Abu Talib refused. And then they came with the ultimatum that if you do not separate yourself from your nephew, we will put your own entire Banu Hashim clan under sanctions. Social, economic sanctions. Nobody will even marry in your family. Nobody will even interact with you. Nobody will buy anything from you. Nobody will sell anything to you. And this is where Abu Talib said, fine, if this is what you want to do, you do it. But I'm not going to stop my support for my nephew, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is where we see that, you know, Abu Talib then took the entire Banu Hashim clan to a property. He had the land just outside Makkah, known as Sha'bi Abi Talib, in order to have their own security there. They would only come to the city during those months where warfare was forbidden, even in the Jahiliya time, the month of Rajab, Zilqad, Zilhijj, and Muharram. You know, that's why our imams sometimes cry and they say, even the Jahiliya people had the hurmat of the month of Muharram, but the Muslims had no respect for the month of Muharram when they attacked Hussein ibn Ali. So it was only at that time that they would come out. Sometimes some of the relatives of Khadija actually would put the food and grain on the camel and go in that area and then let the camel just go by itself, hoping that it will go to the Sha'bi Abi Talib. So they would be able to, you know, give them something, because there were checkpoints all over. And during that time, the point that I have here is that somebody who lived a very luxurious and comfortable life, Khadija spent with Banu Hashim, with Rasulullah, 3 years in Sha'bi Abi Talib, with all the difficulties that they had. But never ever did she ever complain that, you know, what have I got myself into? And this is the issue, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَعَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Sabr and amal salih. This is where you see in the personality of Khadija, salawatullah alayha, salawat. Sha'bi Abi Talib mein ye jo social economic boycott ka silsila raha hai Banu Hashim ke saath, waqt mein gunjayish nahi hai ki us waqiye ko bayan kiya jaye ki kis tarah se ye boycott ka silsila khatam hua hai, kyunki usme bhi ek daleel hai ki janab Abu Talib Rasool Islam ki har baat ko mante the wahi ke unwan se. اور یہ سلسلہ تین سال کے بعد ختم ہو گیا. لیکن یہ 3 سال کی جو اذیتیں ہوئی ہیں خصوصاً جناب ابو طالب اور جناب خدیجہ پر, اس کا جسمانی اثر کافی رہا. ایج کا بھی تقاضا تھا, اور اس کی وجہ سے آپ دیکھیں کہ اس بوائیکاٹ کے ختم ہونے کے بعد جناب ابو طالب کی وفات پہلے ہوتی ہے, اور اسی سال پھر جناب خدیجہ کی وفات ہوتی ہے. رسول اسلام پر یہ ذاتی طور پہ جو اثر تھا, جس میں رسول اسلام اس سال کو کہتے ہیں عام الحزن, یعنی یہ حزن اور غم کا سال ہے میرے لیے, اس لیے کہ یہ 2 ستون تھے جو رسول اسلام کے سپورٹرز تھے. یقیناً تفصیلات ہمیں تاریخ میں نہیں ملتی ہے, لیکن جناب فاطمہ کے لیے یہ بہت ہی اذیتناک یہ زمانہ رہا ہوگا کہ اپنے ماں کے سائے سے محروم ہونا. انسان ماں کی اہمیت کو جانتا ہے, رازدار ہے تو وہی ہے, محافظ ہے تو وہی ہے, ہر حال میں اپنی اولاد سے بے لوس بلا شرط محبت کرنے والی ماں ہوتی ہے. مجھے نہیں معلوم ہے کہ رسول اسلام نے کس طرح سے اپنی بیٹی کو تسلی دی ہوگی, کس طرح سے فاطمہ کو خدیجہ کے وفات پر سمجھایا ہوگا. روایات ہمارے پاس ہے نہیں, لیکن یقیناً یہ بڑا مشکل مرحلہ تھا اور رسول اسلام کے لیے بھی بہت ہی اذیت کا موقع تھا, جہاں فرماتے ہیں کہ یہ دو حمایتی ستون تھے میرے لیے, ابو طالب اور خدیجہ, اور اب یہ دونوں ستون جو ہیں منہدم ہو گئے ہیں. اور آپ دیکھیں اسی کے بعد قریش میں یہ جرت ہوئی کہ رسول کو قتل کرنے کی سازش کریں, اور خداوند عالم نے اس وقت پھر حکم دیا ہے کہ وہ مکہ سے ہجرت کر کے مدینہ کی طرف جائیں. اس موقع پر جناب سیدہ کے تسلی کے طور پہ صرف ایک جملہ ہم کہنا چاہیں گے کہ ہمیں ایک اور مصیبت یاد آتی ہے جو امیر المومنین کی مصیبت تھی. جس طرح سے رسول کے لیے دو شخصیتیں ان کی حمایتی ستون تھیں, ایک ابو طالب اور ایک خدیجہ, اور اس کے بعد رسول کو مجبور ہو کے مکہ سے ہجرت کرنی پڑی, اسی طرح سے خود امیر المومنین جناب سیدہ کو دفن کرنے کے بعد قبر پہ جب کھڑے ہوئے ہیں اور ایک بیان کیا ہے کہ میرے دو حمایتی ستون تھے, ایک رسول کی شخصیت میں اور ایک فاطمہ کی شخصیت میں, پہلا ستون جو ہے رسول کی وفات کے دن منہدم ہوا ہے, اور دوسرا میرا حامی اور ستون جو تھا وہ آج جو ہے ہم نے دفن کیا ہے. بس مولا سے اتنا کہیں گے, مولا کم سے کم آپ نے فاطمہ کو دفن کیا, اس علی کو یاد کرے جس کا نام زین العابدین ہے. جب لوگ آئے تھے جناب سیدہ کے دفن کے بعد یہ کہنے کے لیے کہ کیوں ہمیں نہیں بلایا گیا تھا جنازے کے لیے, نماز جنازہ کے لیے, ہم قبر کو کھودیں گے, اس وقت امیر المومنین نے کہا تھا کہ ہم نے ہر مرحلے میں صبر کیا ہے, لیکن یہاں پر ہماری تلوار نکلے گی, خبردار جو کوئی قریب بھی آئے, کسی بھی اس قبر کو جن الگ نشانیاں بنائی گی تھیں اس پر ہاتھ لگائے. لیکن علی, ایک اور علی کو آپ یاد کرے کہ جب وہ کربلا سے روانہ ہو رہا ہے, جب یہ قافلہ کو شہداء کے لاشوں سے قریب سے گزارا گیا ہے, بیویوں نے اپنے کو گرا لیا ہے, ہر بیوی جو ہے شہید کے لاش پر جا کے روتی تھی, جناب زینب بھی حسین کے لاشے پر رو رہی تھی, لیکن روایات میں ملتا ہے ایک مرتبہ روتے رہتے نظر اوپر جاتی ہے اس اونٹ پر جس پر سید سجاد تھے, جو کیفیت امام زین العابدین کے چہرے کی دیکھتی ہیں, کہتی ہیں بیٹا یہ کیا ہو رہا ہے, یہ نہ ہو کہ زمین جو ہے حجت خدا سے خالی ہو جائے. اس وقت امام نے کہا تھا کہ پپی جان یہ میری کیفیت کیوں نہ ہو, اس لیے کہ میں جوان اور زندہ بھی ہوں, لیکن میرے بابا کا لاشا بے گور و کفن کربلا سے چھوڑ کے جا رہا. لعنۃ اللہ علی القوم الظالمین سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. خداوند اس قیل لبات قبول فرما, ہمارے توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما, ہم لوگوں کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. خداوند عالم اسلام میں صلح اور امن کی فضا پیدا کر, شیعان علی کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ, تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما, امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.